listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm, Joe Jervis is back with you here in the Dog Bowl in Berea. Going to go now to the round table, presented by Blue Point Grill, best seafood restaurant in Cleveland ever since it has opened. Silver Spoons Award winner, 75,000 oysters hand-shucked every single year. So that is good news for you if you like oysters, steak, lobster, tuna. They've got it all. It's Blue Point Grill, grillwithane.com. And now it is time to go to the round table, bringing the voice of the Cleveland Browns from the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network. Jim Donovan is with us here. Jim, yesterday, obviously disappointing, 26-10. More questions, though, than answers coming out of this game. What do you think Mike Pettine does at quarterback?
Well, I think, you know, Nathan, I think Mike Pettine certainly was totally a little bit different than he's been in the past, in the sense that he's been very, very firm and very, you know, upfront about what he says. And by upfront, I mean he just comes out and says things after a game or after a practice or a feeling leading up to a game, and he just makes statements that are, you know, that are fact in his mind. And the very fact that he said that, you know, we're going to put the tape in, take a look at this whole quarterback issue, and we're going to come up with a decision, we'll announce the decision on Wednesday, is totally different, I think, from the, you know, from the camp of Brian Hoyer remaining as the starting quarterback than it ever has in the weeks leading up to this, because I think Mike could have dispelled everything by just saying, hey, listen, I pulled him out of the game. We need a little bit of a change. It looked as though he was having a rough day. I put Johnny Manziel in. But next week, you know, on Wednesday, I don't want anybody to go any farther than with this than we are right now. Brian Hoyer is my quarterback against the Indianapolis Colts. But that didn't happen. So that means that I think we are, you know, on the verge of a quarterback change, I think.
Jim, do you think if he does make the decision to go with Johnny Manziel, that is a single game, a single Indianapolis Colts game decision, and then we'll do the same and evaluate it that way moving forward, or is it a through the remainder of the season type of decision?
Boy, I'll tell you what, Matt, I would think it's for the remainder of the season. I don't think that they really ever wanted to go back and forth. That's why I think, you know, that they've been patient in the last three, since the Cincinnati game, I think they've been kind of patient and getting through games with Brian, and he's won a couple of them, no question about it. But, I mean, you know, I think that they've been patient with him to ride through some of these rough games because they don't want to go back and forth. And I think once you go this direction, I think you're probably going to stay there. So I think it is, if they make the move and he plays on Sunday against the Colts, barring that he's absolutely awful, I think he's the guy for the rest of the year, and they get a read on what they've got with him.
Jim, you've been around a lot of quarterback changes here, and for me,
a lot, Joe,
right,
a lot.
There's been a lot of them, and I just don't think this is just another quarterback change here. I think this is kind of like we're trading in a guy who's been pretty dependable, and he's got us to a lot of good places, to a guy that's now that Ferrari that's been sitting in the garage. How do you think this whole thing's being perceived or taken in by his teammates? I mean, do you think these guys are ready for a change? Do you think that this could be the kind of the shot in the arm that gets us to that next level?
Well, in a period of time yesterday when he went in the game, it definitely was a shot in the arm, and it energized everybody. Everybody on the sideline, the other 10 guys who were with him on the field, on the drive, and obviously him. You know, I mean, he was really ready to go in and play. I think he was very excited. And he was everything in that drive that everybody has said about him, is that he relishes that moment to go in there and kind of, you know, just turn it on. I mean, he's got that rare ability. I mean, from what he did in college and what he did even before that in high school and what he did yesterday, he likes the big moment, which is something that I think people, you know, crave to have their really great players, you know, be able to do. And it seems he shows indications that he can do that. I think the team enjoyed him going in and playing yesterday when he went in. I think that they felt they were in, you know, a real down period, that things just weren't going, nothing was going right. And I think that there are some guys that are saying, you know, it would be fun to play with him. I mean, you know, I just looked at the way they just had more energy when he went in the game. They had, you know, the pace picked up, and I realized they were behind and they had to get up to the line and everything like that, but it just seemed everything just picked up in RPMs. So I think some of the guys on the team, yeah, I mean, there were guys yesterday, at, you know, as the locker room was clearing out, that they were excited by the fact that he was in there and would look forward to if he was in there for a longer period of time, meaning that he would play on Sunday. But I think you're right. I mean, this is a chance for them to take a look at what they bought last May when they bought him in the draft, and he's been kind of in the garage, and it's time to take him out.
When you look at this situation, Jim, what do you think ultimately Mike Pettine will do, and what would you do? What have you seen?
Well, I think that what I've seen is, and as Joe mentioned, I've watched a lot of quarterbacks come in and come out, and they come in and go out, and the next guy comes in, and sometimes the old guy comes back yet. I think that the discouraging thing is that I think the Browns were in an okay position yesterday to win that game. And, Nathan, you were there, you know, on the sideline. You could feel that stadium that we thought was going to be really difficult to handle with the emotion that the Bills had gone through in the week leading up to this game and the ability to come back home and play. And the Browns had defeated that through much of the first half and into the early part of the third quarter, but they had no offense. They just didn't capitalize
right.
on anything.
Yeah.
So I think what happens then is I think that you're playing really good defense. Defense good enough to win on the road in a big game like that and get out of there with a victory. Even if you're kicking field goals, I think the Browns thought that they had a chance to pull that game out. But when you start, when these interception numbers are just skyrocketing in the last 3 weeks, that's usually a tip to me that you're going to get a change. I think he's going to make the change.
I agree with you, Jim, and I think that because of the opponent we have this week, in you know, with the Indianapolis Colts, Andrew Luck went for 370 yards, 5 touchdowns. Scoring points is going to be the key factor in this football game. Indianapolis is going to be very tough to stop, and I think Johnny Manziel gives us the best opportunity to diversify our offense moving forward. Is that something that you agree with?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great defense that they played against yesterday, and they were very, very difficult to move the ball against. Now, and, you know, one of them made a comment, one of the players, Bills players, said, I think it was Darius after the game, said, well, we hadn't prepared for Manziel. So when he went in there, I mean, yeah, he was able to make some plays. But other guys on the Bills defense, guys like the safety Aaron Williams, said, hey, this guy is a real problem. He's a playmaker. And you're putting another playmaker on the field, Matt. I think when you put him in there, you're widening out the length that the defense has to defend, you know, sideline to sideline, because you have to defend him as a runner when he takes off or when he goes up the middle like he did and scores a touchdown. I think it would re-energize the offense. I think it would give them another element. I think people would be fascinated to see it. But mostly, I think guys like Kyle Shanahan and Dowell Loggins and Mike Pettine and Ray Farmer, they want to see it. They want to see what they got. I mean, they've had a good year. They're 7-5. I'm not saying that they're out of it. But, you know, there are a lot of indications that they need to get the engine started up at a higher rate of speed right now.
No question about it. I mean, it is amazing that we're sitting here talking about a Browns team that is 7-5.
Yeah.
That has been without Alex Mack, that has been without Jordan Cameron, that has been without Josh Gordon for much of the season, that has recently been without Phil Taylor, John Hughes, Armani
Carlos
Bryant,
Dansby,
right? Tashaun Gibson. Here we are at 7-5. And we are talking quarterback change because in many ways, you know, the play of late has kind of trended you to this spot, and you saw what Johnny could do in a spurt. It just really, when you step back at it, if you had said Brian Hoyer is going to start the season and start every game over the first 12 and the Browns are going to be 7-5, would you think that you were even contemplating a quarterback change?
No, I don't think so at all. I think you would be very, very content with that, and you would let it play out, and then you would make your decision of contractually what kind of a commitment are you going to make to Brian Hoyer. But the thing, Nathan, is, you know, and Joe pointed this out, you've got this guy sitting over here that is instant excitement.
Yep.
And whether it's going to work in the NFL, none of us know yet. We just don't have enough of a body of work, just like we didn't have a body of work on Hoyer coming into this year because he only played the 2 games and then he got hurt in the 3rd game last year. And I think you got to find out now what's going to happen here. And I think the thing is, I think the Browns are 7-5. That's true. But the last couple of weeks have been discouraging. And I think yesterday, I really believe this, I think the Browns could have won that game.
Absolutely.
With a little bit of offense in that game because their
Absolutely.
Defense, they had Kyle Orton solved, I thought.
Yeah, there's no question about that. Jim, yep. if you will here, I mean, the other thing that Johnny brings to this offense right now is an extra running back. I mean, if you will, if you look at what Russell Wilson's been able to do in Seattle, keeping plays, and when you're as bad as we were on third downs, Johnny at least gives you that opportunity to get it by his legs. So, again, I think the writing is on the wall. You know, I've always said this about the National Football League. It's a great game, but a lousy business. Brian has done a lot of really, really good things for the city. Unfortunately, that's not how this game always works. You know, nobody really cares about the sentimental value. It's great while you have it, but I think the change in what Johnny brings, just in energy, what he brings with his legs, and obviously I think he's got a little bit of a stronger arm. I do side with you that Johnny becomes a quarterback of the Cleveland Browns.
Well, and the other thing is I think that, you know, as you go forward here, now you've got four games left, is I think you'd like to find out what you got.
Absolutely.
You really would like to know what you got. I mean, you don't want to be going into the offseason and you got a big decision to make about Brian. If you're going to make a commitment to him, you know, for years and certainly big money, and you want to, and you say to yourself, okay, but, you know, we went through the year, but we don't know what, you know, we also have a first-round draft choice here that obviously we all liked because we not only picked him in the first round, but we went up a couple of spots in the first round to get him, and we don't know anything about him. I mean, you can't base what he did on what he did in the St. Louis preseason game or the Bears game. You got to see him, what he can do. This is a perfect scenario. It's at home. Like you guys said, it's against a team now that is, you know, this will be a great test for them. But I think they can score on them, and you're going to need points. And right now, I mean, the statistics will tell you that over the last few weeks, Brian has struggled to get them into the end zone.
There's no question about it. Talking with Jim Donovan, the voice of the Browns from the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network here on the Roundtable, brought to you by Blue Point Grill. In some ways, it has worked out as well, I think, as the Browns could have hoped. You got a very good long look at Brian Hoyer if you decide to make the switch now. You have a team that is 7-5 that has kind of improved around Brian Hoyer. Johnny Manziel's had an opportunity to learn and clearly took his preparation for that Buffalo game seriously as he was able to come in and execute right out of the gate. And now you have an opportunity, if you're so inclined, to let Johnny Manziel come in, play meaningful games right out of the gate, and see what you got in him over these final four games.
You know, the other thing too, Nathan, that was kind of revealing in one of the articles after the game, and I think it was when Mike Pettine had talked to Sal Palantonio, you know, on the way to the bus last night in Buffalo, and he talked about the fact that there had been some lively discussion about this move, you know, getting closer and closer to being made because, you know, Brian had been having some problems, some decision-making, some accuracy issues that were, you know, that was his calling card. Let's face it. That's what made Brian so attractive, was the ball came out quickly. It went, you know, to the right guy, and it went in a safe spot most times, and that hasn't been happening. But the fact that the Browns, you know, upper management, certainly the high points in the coaching staff, coordinators, quarterback coaches, and head coach have been having lively discussions about the possibility of making a switch at quarterback. You know, that just didn't happen after an interception, you know, early in the fourth quarter yesterday at Ralph Wilson Stadium. It's obviously been going on.
That being said, Jim, do you think it is safe to say that the future of Brian Hoyer as the starter of the Cleveland Browns and securing a long-term deal is severely in question at this point?
You know, I think it was always in question, Matt. I really do. I think that, you know, I know that we were riding the crest of, you know, what was, you know, Brian's success early on. But as far as big-time commitment, you know, when Deion Sanders was sitting with him after the Cincinnati game, certainly Brian's signature win of the year, and said, hey, pay this man $100 million. Never mind the guy that was out there playing for the Bengals tonight, meaning that Andy Dalton had a horrible game that night. But I still believe that it was always going to be tough for Brian to get the huge commitment from the Browns, you know, to get the big, big deal that I think Brian feels that, you know, he deserves. And I think Brian is also pretty heady about this. Even a few weeks ago when he, you know, when he was his contract issue got brought up, and he said, hey, listen, I'd love to stay here, but I want to play somewhere. I'd like it to be here, but if it's not here, then I'm perfectly ready and I think capable to play somewhere else. So as Joe said, it's a tough business, but I think everybody, you know, is a big boy about this thing. I always thought it was going to be difficult for him to get the type of deal that he probably thought he was, you know, able to get here in Cleveland.
I think you're right. And, Jim, you talked about this was a game it felt like the Browns could have won if they could have just gotten anything going on offensively in the first half. The Bills were 2 of 15 on third down and turned the ball over twice, and yet they won this football game, and that's going to stick with the Browns for a while because a lot of changes, I think, could come out of this game. Obviously, Terrence West's fumble is looming large, and Mike Pettine was not happy about that at all in his post-game press conference, so perhaps we see Glenn Winston for the first time this week against Indianapolis as well. But a lot of questions. Going to be an interesting week here in Berea, to say the least. Jim, appreciate your time, as always.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks,
all right,
Jim.
That was Jim Donovan on the Roundtable, brought to you by Blue Point Grill. That's Blue Point Grill with an E.com, located on the corner of West 6th and St. Clair, the finest seafood restaurant in our fine city of Cleveland. They also have great steaks, attentive service. It is a VIP experience if you want to go down there. The lobsters there from Maine, the steaks, they are phenomenal, and you will certainly love to be there at Blue Point Grill. That's grillwithane.com. For reservations. Also, a great way to tailgate before the Browns and the Colts this Sunday, valet parking. They've got oysters. They've got Bloody Marys. They've got all you need at Blue Point Grill. So check it out. We'll be back with your reaction now. Let's open this show up to you, 216-578-0850 here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. What do you want to see the Browns do at quarterback? We're going to try to continue answering that question. And when we talk to you right after this, talk to you right after this, talk to you right after this.